Verse 14, the first part of the chapter tells about King Saul and his son being slain and Israel fleeing there. And then I want to read a verse starting at verse 11. And when all Jabesh-Gilead heard all that the Philistines had done to Saul, they arose, all the valiant men, and took away the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons and brought them to Jabesh and buried their bones under the oak in Jabesh and fasted 7 days. So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him, and turned the kingdom unto David the son of Jesse. I want you to notice verse 14, and inquired not of the Lord, therefore he slew him. Why did he slay King Saul? Because he inquired not of the Lord. And who returned the kingdom to David the son of Jesse? Now I found in running a reference on this inquiring of the Lord that David the son of Jesse was the man who inquired most of the Lord in all circumstances, even when it seemed like it was obvious to everyone looking at his situation, David would still inquire of the Lord. Even, you remember the time they came in and the Amalekites burnt Ziklag and took his wives and children, kidnapped them, ran off with them. Now, most people would say, well, I got to go after my wives and my children. And all these men were, his men spake of stoning David, blaming it all on him. And David inquired of the Lord, God, what would you have me do? Because we don't always automatically know the purposes of God. And David was a man after God's own heart. David was the one who wrote the psalm and said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I want to, David was saying, he had an inquiring mind. I want to know God's purposes in my life, because we don't always know God's purposes. Even Israel, and on a national level, we're talking about that this morning. We don't always know the purposes that God has. I think that's why God told Israel, don't make leagues with all these other nations. And those treaties and those leagues bind you to them. And you're saying, well, if they attack this other nation, if anybody attacks them, we're going to rush to their defense. When you should inquire of the Lord, because that might be God's judgment for some wickedness, God's chastisement against that nation. And if you don't inquire of the Lord, you'll end up fighting against God.
Sure.
Even a nation that's, you could call it a good nation in some ways, but it's not good because it's not wise if it ends up fighting against God. But, you know, even Joshua, who was mostly a successful and a good man, didn't he make that treaty with the Gibeonites? And he didn't ask God. They tricked him. They fooled him into saying, we're from a far country. And he looked at them with his natural eye and said, well, it looks like they've been traveling a long way. Their clothes are worn out and they are weary. They're travel weary. Looks like they've been on the road a long time. So he made that league, but he didn't inquire of the Lord. That was the mistake that he made. Well, God slew King Saul just simply for that reason, that he didn't inquire of the Lord. And one of the dangers of being a king, being in a high position, would be to become presumptuous. Well, I'm the king. This is my decision. And I'll do what I please. And that seems to be what happened to Saul, because one of the rebukes was that the prophet told him, when you were little in your own eyes, God made you king over Israel. But then you got to be so big that you didn't even need to ask God or inquire of him. Well, let's look at this and see if we can understand some more about when we should inquire. I don't think some people go to extremes they want to inquire over every little thing. There are times, Apostle Paul said, if you go to somebody's house and they serve you meat, he said, don't ask any questions. Just sit down and eat it. Don't inquire in that case, where'd this meat come from? Has it been sacrificed? He said, you know, don't ask, don't tell policy there. Don't ask any questions. Just thank God for it and receive it. But he said, if they tell you this is meat sacrificed to idols, then don't eat of it. If you know that it's meat sacrificed to idols. But he said, you don't have to go around investigating every piece of meat before you eat it. He said, sometimes you don't inquire. I don't inquire of the Lord over some things. I read in the paper just a week or so ago that President Clinton told someone, said, I've prayed about this abortion issue. Well, you don't need to pray about some things when God's word is very clear that even if a man by accident hurts a woman with child, he'll be punished by the judges. That's if he does it in a fight and accidentally hurts a woman with child. But it's very clear on that. You don't need to inquire of the Lord if something you're doing is clearly wrong in Scripture. You don't need to ask God, should I avenge myself or should I commit adultery in this situation? You know that those things are, God's already revealed in His Word that something's wrong. Then you've already inquired of the Lord when you read His Word, His commandment on that. So you don't have to ask God stupid questions that you should already know the answer to. It would do me no good to start inquiring of God, should I go out here and start dating and marry an unbeliever? Because the Scripture says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. There's no need of me to pray about that. God's already spoken clearly in His Word. But there are times when we face things that aren't clearly spelled out in God's Word. And then we ought to inquire of Him and find out. Genesis 25 and 22, Rebekah, Isaac's wife, was barren for many years. Some say 20 some years, I believe. She was barren, and Isaac went and entreated the Lord for her and prayed, and so she conceived, and it was twins, and they were struggling in her womb. Chapter 25, verse 22, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Now, I think what she's saying in that question, if it be so, why am I thus? She's saying, now God, I know my husband has been praying that I'll have a child. And here I am with child. Now, why is this conflict going on within me when this is what we've been praying for and this is your blessing? And why is this struggle going on inside of me? And God said, there's two nations inside of you. And one of them is going to serve the other. There's going to be conflict on down the line between the Jews and the Arabs, which is still going on today. And her question was, what's going on here? Here's family conflict, sibling rivalry, if you please, before they even get out of the womb. Because there's two ways that we know things. We know things in our mind, and that's important. Knowledge is important. Knowledge puffeth up. But we can know things in our spirit. And those two babies, they didn't know in their mind. They knew in their spirit. Just the same way that when Elizabeth met Mary and the babe leaped in her womb. I don't believe John the Baptist there in the womb knew in his mind that this was Messiah, but his spirit discerned that, and he leaped in his mother's womb. So we can know things both ways, and I think that's what these babies did. And so the point I want to make to you, if there's conflict, if there's family conflict, if there's sibling rivalry, inquire of the Lord. Sometimes it helps in dealing with it. Well, all the time it helps in dealing with it if you understand the reason why there's a conflict. You know, sometimes God told people, and the incident escapes my mind, but there was a conflict, and God said, this is from me. I'm the one who's causing this conflict. Even in the New Testament, they had a conflict there in the church. Paul and Barnabas had a conflict of whether or not they're going to take John Mark on the journey, because Paul's view was, he forsook me in the heat of the battle last time. They may have quoted some scriptures to each other. I'd say Paul probably said, why, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Solomon said that. He's the wisest man ever was. And he said, I don't have any confidence in this. This is an unfaithful man. And I don't want to take him out in the heat of battle. But you know what I think God's purpose in that particular conflict was? He wanted two missionary groups instead of one. And so they departed asunder. And that way he had two teams going out to start churches. Now, they got back together and reconciled later on down the road, but sometimes that may be God's purpose in a conflict, maybe a temporary separation. You look at it in Scripture. Now, the people you're dealing with, just like Joseph, his brothers, he got that insight, and he got so much wisdom when he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He had a sibling rivalry there with his brothers. But what was God's purpose in that jealousy and envy? God's purpose was to take Joseph down into Egypt, because he knew that famine was coming down the road and that Joseph would be their salvation when the famine finally came. And so it helps us if we inquire of the Lord and God says, yes, there's a conflict, but I'm working in this conflict. Don't get all distraught and disturbed about it. Just continue on serving me. Don't let it bend you all out of shape. Don't backslide over the conflict, because I'm working in it. And I'm working in it for your benefit, but not only that, to save other people. And that is the case so many times in Scripture. God worked in a conflict. Well, if we realize that, like I say, it will help us not to avenge ourselves and to decide, I'm going to take this matter into my own hands, and I'm going to lash out in anger at people because of this conflict. They're dealing unjustly with me, and I'm going to strike back at them. If we'll inquire of the Lord, say, God, what's your purpose in this? And I do believe in praying God, avenge me of mine adversaries. And I pray that prayer many times. Jesus taught us to pray that way. And the scripture teaches us vengeance belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to me, it belongs to Him, because He knows what His purposes are. So anyway, this conflict came in the womb there, and she said, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord, and God gave her an answer. This is the reason why these babies that I've given to you, they're struggling in your womb. The elder's going to have to end up serving the younger, but he doesn't like that idea. And so he's fighting against that idea. Well, later on, they had a conflict, and these two sons, Jacob and Esau, and Jacob ended up getting his birthright, and then he ended up getting the blessing, and that's what really tore old Esau up. One lesson, great important lesson there is the carnal nature, and Esau is an example of what the carnal nature is like. The carnal nature of man despises the blessing that he has. Esau despised his birthright.
That's right.
The carnal man is always discontent. He may have all kinds of blessings, but he despises all the blessings he have, and he'll look over his neighbor who has less than he has, and he'll want the blessing his neighbor has and despise all the blessings he has. Isn't that what David did even? And the prophet rebuked him for that. He said, David, you were like the man that had all these herds and flocks. You had many wives, and you could have had more wives if you wanted them, and concubines on top of that. You had all the children multiplied, but you looked over at the other man's wife. He said, that's what I want. That's why to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So on to Exodus chapter 18 and verse 15. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God, when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and His laws. So ignorance. There is a reason to inquire of the Lord, and in this case, to the man of God. They would come to the man of God. Even in Saul's day, they went to see the seer, they called him, the prophet. And they asked him, what's the mind of God in this? Here it's a case of judgment between not necessarily family members, but just on a neighborhood scale. You got conflict with your neighbor. You have a disagreement about the law. Maybe you just don't know what the law is. And so you go to inquire of someone. I remember many years ago when I was really young at the time, one of our neighbors, she hired a bunch of professional fencers, and they fenced, and it was about probably over 1,000 feet of fencing. They fenced that line. Well, then she said, she brought the bill and said, here, you must pay half of this because this is a boundary fence, and here's the bill for half of it. And we were poor, seven of us kids at that time, and this was way up there, I suppose, in the thousands of dollars. And we couldn't afford to pay that. Well, so we had to inquire of the law. And then here again recently, our neighbor, her horses were getting out, and that same fence that they had built years ago was worn out. So she was saying, you know, I want to have the men here to build fences. But she did it correctly. Before she built the fence, of course, they ruled in the first one. They said, you can't do that. You can't have them come in and build a fence and then say, here, half of this is yours. Even though the law does require that you keep up half of the boundary fence, you have to let them know beforehand and say, now, you have to maintain half of this boundary fence, but You can build it yourself if you want to, and that's what we did in this case. It cost us $200 or $300 instead of $2,000 or $3,000. That's a lot of difference. We went to inquire. A lot of people are ignorant of those kind of laws. So you go to inquire of someone in authority, and they told us, this is what is required. And I said, I'll build this boundary fence myself. And I had some of the nephews and brothers came up, and we put most of it up in a day's work. Had a mind to work, and so we built the fence. Saved us a lot of money. Well, anyway, if we're ignorant and we don't really know what the law is and we don't know what the will of God is, if we're a new convert, especially, new converts need to inquire of the Lord. They need to find somebody who's older than they are, but don't blindly follow any man. Let him instruct you and tell you this is the way it is and here's where you'll find it at in Scripture. Then you get you a Bible and you look it up and make sure he's telling you like it is. That's the way to do it, to inquire of the Lord. If you're a new convert and you're just ignorant of what the Word of God says, you don't have to accept anything blindly. Don't accept anything I say blindly. Keep your eyes wide open and look it up. You can look it up on anything, and I'm not always right either. I had one fellow, he said, well, now here's what you said, and here's what it says in the Scripture. And I had to say, well, yeah, it could be. You could interpret that two different ways. And I had always interpreted it one way. Don't blindly follow any man. Apostle Paul didn't even tell him to blindly follow him. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. And always keep Christ in your sights. And then you can listen to the instruction and the counsel of a man. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 30. Take heed to thyself, that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. There are some areas where God wants us to be ignorant. That same thing I just said about if we're ignorant. Apostle, I believe it was Paul who said, I would that ye were wise concerning that which is good, but simple concerning evil. Here he's saying, don't study the rituals of the false religions, these idolatrous nations. Don't get into the depths of it. And he even said a little bit about the knowledge of it there, or the knowledge that you need to know. He said, here's what they did. They burned their children in the fire to those false gods. And that's enough. When you know that, you know enough to stay away from it. And you don't have to watch, as I've said before, you don't have to watch pornographic movies to know they're evil. You don't have to do that. If they tell you that there's nudity and cursing and, certain things in it, you don't have to watch it. You know that it's evil. Most of them, you can look at the title of it, and you know that it's evil and stay away from it. He said, you don't need to study witchcraft to know that it's evil. You don't need to fill your mind with filth. Our mind is not meant to know evil. The way God intends for us to grow spiritually to the point where we can discern evil with our spirit and stay away from it. Right. Not to where we have to study it with our mind and figure out what's wrong with it. God wants us to grow to the point of spiritual discernment, and we just have a sense about us. That's evil. And even he'll bring that discerning of spirits to where we can say that person is evil. Otherwise, how are we going to know when he said, don't cast your pearls before swine? We have to be able to discern who the swine are. And then not cast our pearls before them, because he said they're going to trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. God can bring us to that point of discernment. Deuteronomy 17 and 8, if there arise a matter too hard for thee in judgment, between blood and blood, between plea and plea, and between stroke and stroke, between matters of controversy within thy gates, then shalt thou arise and get thee up into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And he goes on to say, you'll ask those that are of that place, and they'll tell you what to do concerning these matters that are too hard for thee. I suppose that's why we have a Supreme Court in our land. Israel had a Supreme Court. And if there was a matter that was just too difficult, both sides had good arguments. There were good arguments on both sides of the issue. And it was too difficult for a particular person. He said, there is a place that I'm going to choose. And the people that are of that place, they'll tell you what to do about these issues that are too difficult for you to handle. Samuel chapter 21, chapter 10 and verse 21, and when they sought him, this is talking of Saul, they were seeking to make him king. When they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. Have you ever lost something and inquired of the Lord? I have many times. You lose something important, and I've prayed to God, help me to find that, because if I don't find it, it's going to be a lot of trouble, a lot of difficulty, and furthermore, I don't want anybody else to have that. Maybe it's my license or something like that, or a credit card. Which I don't use for credit, I use for identification purposes. But whatever it is, and you don't want anybody else to have it, and you say, God, help me to find it, many times. And of course, I don't pray without putting forth some effort. I then go and look, and I then search my mind. Now, where was the last time I had that? And God can quicken our minds. That's one way he can lead us to find things that we've lost and things that are hidden. He can just bring it back to our minds and speak to us. 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 1. Then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. Here's another example of what I was talking about. Some people would rashly just decide, well, the enemy, the Philistines have attacked us. We have to do something. We have to fight against them. And David didn't make that rash decision. Because who knows? Sometimes the inhabitants of Keilah may have committed some great sin, and God may be bringing judgment on them. And as I say, that's why God doesn't want us to make leagues with other nations. God uses war to bring judgment on nations. He did it throughout the Scripture. Read it. He brought judgment many times, even on Israel. But not only Israel, many of the other nations. He brought war was one of the means that God has of bringing judgment. And so it is. Sometimes God may say, nope, I don't want you to help that person that's in trouble. I'm chastising them. Now, I'll tell you, when I get through chastising them, and then you can help them. Sometimes it just may be a matter of waiting until the Lord gives us the okay. He can direct us in our giving as well. Even there, Ahimelech, you'll remember, was falsely accused when King Saul came and Doeg the Edomite accused Ahimelech and said, David's come to him, and he's given David all these supplies, and he's inquired of the Lord for him. And Saul came and questioned Ahimelech about it. In chapter 22 and verse 14, then Ahimelech answered the king and said, "And who is so faithful among thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more." Sometimes I've thought that when Ahimelech was summoned to appear before Saul, maybe if he would have inquired of the Lord, there's no record that whether he did or not, maybe this was God's plan for him and his children to be slain. But maybe it was a matter of the priest. You know, oftentimes I know it's teaching. It's the difficult thing is to practice what I teach. Easy parts to teach it. And the same thing applies to preachers, or in this case, the priest. Sometimes they may not. We could get the attitude. Any of us get the attitude, "Well, I'm so close to God, and I've got the mind of God, and I know what I ought to do." And for that reason, kind of a spiritual pride there to think, "I don't need to inquire of God. God, what? Give me direction." And humble myself. Doesn't the scripture say, "He that humbles himself as a little child, he's going to enter the kingdom"? Well, a little child is not afraid to ask questions. Matter of fact, they can wear you out asking questions. Everything that comes up, they go through a time there. Why does this and why does that happen? Always asking questions. That's the nature of small children, to inquire at the hand of somebody that they think knows. Many times the questions they ask are profound, and we don't really know the answer to them. We don't want to admit to a small child, "Well, I don't know what the answer to that is." I remember one time one of my small nephews was playing with a magnet, and he asked his father with an engineering degree, he said, "What makes that metal jump up there against that magnet?" And his father said, "Nobody knows what makes that jump up there against that magnet." Said, Einstein, another brother said, "Einstein had his theories, but nobody knows for sure why that happened." But you won't get that answer from God, I don't know. Sometimes you may have to wait on an answer, though. Right. King Saul was not willing to wait on an answer from God. Said he didn't. God didn't answer him. And then he gave different ways. God didn't answer him through a dream. He didn't answer him through a prophet, and he didn't answer him through the Urim and Thummim. Those three different ways that God could have answered Saul, said there was not an answer in any of those ways. God can't answer us in a dream. I've had a dream or two myself that I believe and still believe to this day was from God. God can answer us in a dream, and he can answer us through the prophet, as he did in the scriptures. The thing to do is to put your petition before God and then keep your ears open. The answer, you don't know how it's going to come. God can use a preacher on the radio to address the very issue you're facing. You can get your answer that way. He can use the pastor. He can use an evangelist. He can use his word. He can use, as I said, he can use dreams or even signs sometimes. Remember, brother, and I had something similar that happened. Brother Andy Johnson talked about one time he killed two snakes. Everything was happening in twos. Saw two snakes and killed two of them, and different things happened in pairs. And he said his interpretation was, "Well, my wife, she's going to have twins." And sure enough, she had twins after that. Well, that was just through signs of everything happening that way. You know, when I see things happen something that's never happened to me before in my life, and then it happens twice in one day, and it's a strange thing. You know, that gets my attention. I say, God, is that you trying to get a message through to me? I've seen him give me a message that way through. Some call that an omen or a sign, we might call it. But God can answer us in those ways. 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 1, after King Saul and Jonathan had been slain in battle, David was the man that was next to be king, and he knew he'd been anointed. But in chapter 2 of 2 Samuel, it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah?" The Lord said to him, "Go up." And David said, "Whither shall I go up?" And he said, "Unto Hebron." So David went up thither, and his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. David inquires of the Lord concerning his own promotion. Now, many people think if it's a promotion, then obviously it's God's will. But not necessarily. Even there you need to inquire of the Lord. Not only that, you need to inquire, how do I go about it? I think David had a sense, it's time for me to be king now. But how do I go about it? Well, he said, go to Hebron. Now, David reigned 7 years in Hebron before over Judah, before he reigned over all Israel. And then he reigned 33 years in Jerusalem for a total of 40 years. But he inquired of the Lord, how do I go about becoming king? God knew the place where they would accept David. God knew just the place where he was supposed to be. And he said, go up to Hebron. There was another time God inquired of the Lord, David inquired of the Lord in 1 Samuel chapter 30. David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue? And he said, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Well, I mentioned that one, but there was another time when the Philistines attacked, and David said, shall I pursue? And God said, no, I want you to do it differently this time. Don't go straight after me. He said, I want you to fetch a compass, go around behind them to the mulberry trees. You remember that story. He said, when you hear the sound of going the midst of the mulberry trees, then you're to attack. So sometimes God has an alternate route that he wants us to take to accomplish his goal. And there he inquired of the Lord, and he said, go to Hebron. Don't go to Jerusalem yet. We're not ready for that. Go to Hebron, and you're going to reign there for 7 years. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 17. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. And David heard of it and went down to the hole. Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? The Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. Seems when the Philistines heard David's anointed king, they immediately, it's like when a team has a new player, the opposing team will pick on him. Okay, they got a new defensive back, we're going to run our pattern, and we're going to throw the ball in his direction. Test him out and see what he's made out of. He's new. He's a rookie. He'll make mistakes and we'll win. And oftentimes they do. So that was their attitude. David, he's a new king. He's untested. He's untried. He's afraid. He doesn't know what he's doing as king. He can't handle the office. And they immediately gathered themselves together against David. Now David, first, he went to the hold. David heard of it and went down to the hold. He didn't immediately go out and rashly face them. He decided, I better flee to the rock, so to speak, and I better find out what God wants me to do. And only after he got an answer from God. There's many times when we may act when we ought to be fleeing to our secret closet of prayer, saying, God, what would you have me to do in this situation? And then we'll be able to act wisely and prudently. Even one time in 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 1, then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, it is for Saul and for his bloody house because he slew the Gibeonites. So even there, God could have a purpose in a famine. God could have a purpose in a depression, an economic depression. And there's a time there when we need to say, God, why is this happening? And God was saying, and many people would have just assumed, well, it's a famine against the people of God and against the land of God. It's the devil. And we got to pray him away from our land. David didn't assume that. He said, God, why is there a famine? God said, this is my justice on the land because of what Saul did when he slew the Gibeonites. God said, this thing is for me. And as I say, the importance of that is, even in the New Testament, when they asked there before the court, and Gamaliel, there the Christians, the disciples, the apostles, were before the court. And he gave them wise counsel. He said, now if this thing's not from God, it'll come to naught, it'll come to nothing. But let's don't fight against it, lest we be fighting against God. So we as Christians cannot assume that famine or war or disease or any things we'd regard as evil, we can't just jump to the conclusion always, well, this is the devil, and we got to cast the devil out. No, sometimes it may be God accomplishing his purposes, and it may be the judgment and the justice of God that brings this about. But we won't know. We won't know. It's not always one thing or another. And we won't know until we inquire of the Lord and get his answer. And then we'll be able to act in accordance with his will and not our own. And that's my purpose this morning, is to get us to be in harmony with God's purposes and his will, and not to be rash or presumptuous. Amen.